The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how they made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And they were talking about these things. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, Luke tells us. It seems that artists are forever attempting to portray those two melancholy disciples on a peaceful, contemplative stroll down memory lane. Nothing could be further from the truth. They weren't strolling out of Jerusalem. They were walking briskly. Power walking, I believe they call it these days. Jesus had been crucified, buried, but now rumored to be risen from the grave. And these two were trying to get as far away from the scene of the crime as they possibly could. Like the 11 locked in that room, they too were trying mightily to avoid the fate of Jesus. Even worse, they too were numbered among Christ's betrayers, having deserted him when he needed them most. And so the report of an empty tomb and Jesus risen from the dead was not good news to them. Their judgment loomed. Walk faster! How ironic then that the one they were trying to avoid joined them on their power walk. "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" a coy Jesus asked them. And his question stopped them in their tracks. Isn't it strange how a guilty conscience works? Whether real or simply perceived, Cleopas and the others followers of Jesus assumed the entire world knew their sin and was judging them accordingly. And the stranger's question set them on edge. "Why are you asking this? What is this about? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? They ask in exasperation. But Jesus wasn't letting it go. Like God calling to Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, what things, Jesus asked. You see, Jesus was wringing a confession out of them. He was making them spill the beans to tell us what they did. And like Adam and Eve, these two started the blame game. They blamed the chief priests for handing Jesus over to his death. They blamed the Romans for putting Jesus to death. They even blamed Jesus for being a dying Messiah. But never once did they ever confess that they too were responsible for Jesus' death. And so the free-ranging Jesus rebuke was swift and it was harsh. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, he said to them. My goodness, it's no wonder Jesus had to die. So deep was the mistrust and hard-heartedness of these two, and the rest of the world for that matter, that preaching the gospel literally took everything that Jesus could give. And how do you get to people so dead, so blind, so bound in their sin that they can't see the truth even when it's staring them in the face and walking beside them? Well, the only way is to preach God's steadfast love and faithfulness to his promise of mercy for the sake of the promised Savior. You preach to them God's stick-to-itness. You preach to them God's unfairness of being merciful to the undeserving. And so you preach to them God's promise of the Savior, overheard by Adam and Eve after they sinned. You preach to them God's promise of the coming Savior given to Abraham. You preach to them God's promise of the coming Savior proclaimed by all the prophets. You preach to them that in spite of their sin and their betrayal and their self-righteous attempts to blame others and to justify themselves, the Savior has come for them with mercy and peace from God. And when that good news goes over a head at the font and into a mouth at an altar rail and into an ear in the pew, the Holy Spirit puts the promise into the heart. And who Jesus is and what he has done is crystal clear. He's the long-promised Savior come for you. And that's why I say to you that you're forgiven without condition by the Father for Christ's sake. Peace be to you. Amen.